Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome, everybody. You are now listening to the Elijah Isaiah Talk Show, and I am your humble host, Elijah Isaiah. And as I do with all of my programs coming in, I give God all the glory, because without Him, none of this could be possible. This is our Freestyle Friday segment, where we talk about anything and everything. But before we start the program today, I want the OJs to tell us what we do for the weekend. I'm going to allow this to play out, and then we'll come back and we'll start the show, because today's program is going to be hot, truly hot. Here we go. So just sit back to this nice music, and we'll be back.
Let me just sit down and relax a minute. Let me tell you about it. Good clock sound. Gonna pick up my lady. Have a little bit of fun. Just ain't no telling where I might end up. You might see me on the east side, ha, the west side. I'm even going across the bridge, though. Cause I hear they really get down over there.
Well, to myself.
Thank you. What's worse than needing legal help? Not having access to it. No matter what kind of legal situation you face, you can depend on your Legal Shield membership to save you money and worry. No other legal service plan available today is more comprehensive than a Legal Shield membership. Call your independent sales associate, Palmetto Small Business Solutions, for more information at 843-771-5100. That's 843-771-5100.
And I would like to correct that telephone number that the announcer just gave. That telephone number is 843-771-1015. That phone number is 843-771-1015 for the Legal Shield membership. Once again, my name is Elijah Isaiah X, and I am the humble host of the Elijah Isaiah Talk Show. And I have to tell you people, I am so glad that we're at the end of the week for a number of reasons. Number one, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, probably all next week, I won't be on the air. I have to keep with my principles, which is my faith, my family, and then my business. My faith always comes first. My family and I are going on vacation down to New Orleans. As a matter of fact, I'll be posting some of those pictures on my Facebook page while I'm down in the Big Easy. Wow. You know, I had to post something on my Facebook page some time ago asking people, when is the last time that they have been on a vacation, a real vacation? And when I posted that question, I had to take a step back because me and my family truly have not been on a real vacation in probably about the last 5 or 6 years. And that is way too long. And that is something that we're going to have to work on as a family. But this program is dedicated to my listeners. So the mic is open. The mic phone number is 347-308-8578. The phone number to call into the program is 347-308-8578. You can call in and talk about things that we talked about during the week. Some of the things that we talked about was the church, whether the church was actually doing enough for the African-American community. There has been a lot of noise going on the federal level about the Benghazi case, which my good buddy, I have to give him a shout out, Shane, we have been going back and forth in discussions over probably ever since this issue actually happened. And he educated me to another level on this issue. And it seems that some of the things that he predicted end up coming to pass. Ain't that something? I had an opportunity to look at CNN just this weekend. And as I told him, I believe last week, I'm really surprised that CNN, of all people, broke this story. Because mainstream media usually do not produce the truth. And that's a fact. They pretty much participate in the propaganda that our government and different entities, you know, perpetrate on the people. So I was a little bit shocked that they actually ran this story just this past weekend. I had a chance to actually videotape it also. And if you really looked at it, if you really looked at that program opened up Pandora Box. I don't have a lot of time to stay on this subject today because I had no plans in talking about Benghazi today. But the fact of the matter is, that thing is bigger than what happened on that night in Benghazi. Trust me when I say that. It is bigger than what happened that night in Benghazi. Go back to what I keep advising my listeners on this program to do. Take news from that night, Take news from other stories. Take news from print, radio, wherever you heard it about this particular issue, and put them all together. Mix them up. Put them together like a puzzle, and the whole true nature of that operation is going to come together. And that's why I said that issue is bigger than what happened that night. One of the things that was not actually discussed in the very beginning was that CIA agents, the number of CIA agents that were in Benghazi that night. I mean, when the first report initially came out, they said that it was only two people. Now we know that that story was not true. And like I said, I'm going to drop it there because we have so much other information to talk about. I want to give a quick shout out because somebody sent me an email about some business opportunities, and I promised them that I would provide a number of website links. Now, the first one I've been broadcasting on this program for quite some time, which is Legal Shield, and I truly believe that everybody needs this service for a number of reasons. And they have a special that's going on right now. So you can get in for half of the price. If you know somebody that has received a speeding ticket in your town or in your family or whether it's you, you need this service. If you know somebody who doesn't have a last will and testament, they need this service. If you've been treated unfairly for any situation, trust me, you need this service. I was floored to a certain extent to find out that a big-name singer, and I can't remember who it was. Who was the last big singer that died? It was a white guy. I can't remember his name. Oh, my God, I can't remember the guy's name. But I was shocked that he did not have savvy people around him to advise him of his estate. He didn't have a will. So he left a load of mess when he died. Oh, a matter of fact, it wasn't a singer. It was the guy from The Sopranos. And matter of fact, that situation is about to get even more deeper. Something that we talk about at our Legal Shield meetings literally every week. Now, he had a wife when he died, but he also had an ex-wife. And since a last will and testament was never created, now the ex-wife can come in and claim some of his riches. See, a lot of people don't know that. And that is a teaching moment that I just gave. And I'm going to give this example again, because there's probably a lot of people who are listening to me right now, either in African-American community or any community, that didn't even know that information. That when you legally divorce somebody and then go and marry someone else and you fail to have a last will and testament in place and you go hit the Powerball like these three people did on, I think that was on Wednesday, $448 million. Boy, I was praying, God, please let me be one of those people. I'm going to hit Powerball one day. Trust me, I know it's coming. And mine is probably going to be bigger. I believe that. But the fact of the matter is that if you or that person that died did not leave a will, that ex-wife can come and claim almost 50% of everything you did after that divorce. That's scary. And I did not know that fact until I was told about that issue at a Legal Shield meeting about, had to be about 5 years ago. I first heard it when I was in Maryland. So the website to look at the Legal Shield opportunity is www.mrpresidentcfo.com. It is www.mrpresidentcfo.com. I'm going to take you to another hot opportunity. This was just brought to my attention yesterday, and I jumped into it in a heartbeat because it's in its beginning stage. It's been kicking off out there in California. One of my uplines that used to be inside of Legal Shield so long ago actually informed me about this less than probably about 36 hours ago. So that particular website is www, and it's my name. It's ElijahIsaiahX.com. So it's www.ElijahIsaiahX. And that .com. And that is the last website that I have for my listeners today. Now, one of the stories that I want to talk about, and I heard about this story on Warren Ballantyne today, matter of fact, and I have to thank him for actually posting this on Facebook today because he's one of my Facebook buddies. And he mentioned that one of the stories that was going to be talked about on the program today was Henrietta Lack. Now, I ask you all, do you know who Henrietta Lack is? If you're listening to me by internet, I'm going to allow you maybe about 1 or 2 minutes to Google this young lady's name. Because what was done to this young lady was a travesty. I'm going to give you an example. I equate this to the same thing that the state of North Carolina did back in the 1970s when they sterilized about 200 to 300 women without their knowledge. And even though it was past the statute of limitation, the state of North Carolina actually just recently, I believe, paid these women so many thousands of dollars for all of their pain. Something that's not going to be able to replace them not being able to bear children. You know, when I think about that, I think about what happened to the Tehiski Airmen. You know, what they actually went through. You know, the experiments that was actually performed on them without their knowledge. And then when Warren Ballantyne posted this, I believe he posted this around 8:30 this morning. He comes on at 10, so I had an opportunity to go and research this young lady. Let me pull up one of the stories. I have to read this to you. I mean, because it's almost unbelievable. And I don't want this to play. I don't want the video that I'm pulling up to play. PBS. There's a PBS taping of this. It's entitled Henrietta Lack's Immoral Impact on Research Now Extends to Patent Consent. Henrietta Lack's Immoral Impact on Research Now Extends to Patent Consent. Now, I'm going to ask you again. If you never heard of this woman, she is responsible. Her cells were responsible for research on cervical cancer. What happened? This young lady died in 19. Matter of fact, let me read the story to you. Some of this stuff is popping up on my computer. In 1951, poor African-American woman in Maryland became an early and unwitting donor to medical science. Henrietta Lack died at the age of 31 of cervical cancer at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. Now, I'm going to stop it there for a minute. Johns Hopkins University is one of the most prestigious medical hospitals in the world. In fact, John Carson, the world's renowned African-American heart surgeon, practiced there before he retired, I believe it was about 2 years ago. So Johns Hopkins is known globally. Then doctors discovered, matter of fact, let me go back, because you have to feel the impact and the anger that I felt when I read this. Henrietta Lack died at the age of 31 of cervical cancer at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore. Then the doctors discovered that a tumor cell they removed from her body earlier continued to thrive in the lab, a medical first. Before long, her cells, dubbed HeLa cells, were being used for research around the world, contributing to major advances in everything from cancer treatment to vaccines. But Henrietta Lack never gave permission for that research, nor had her family, until now. In an agreement announced yesterday with the National Institute of Health, which grants the family a limited say over some of the research. Dr. Francis Collins is the director of the NIH and spearheaded the talks with the family. You have to see the interview on PBS. Is there any way that I can... Oh, God, I should have actually put the link on. You know what? What I'm going to do, when this program is over, I'm going to go back into my Blog Talk account, and I'm going to post the website link so you can look at the same video that I looked at earlier. And the arrogance in this guy's demeanor. God help us. The interviewer lack of being an investigative reporter or even reporter, period. Because she touched on one of the issues that I had, and I'm pretty sure you have right now. But let me finish the rest of, matter of fact, let me read the interview to you because they posted it here. Dr. Collins welcomes back. This is the reporter, Dr. Francis Collins. The National Institute of Health, it's nice to be here. Margaret Warner, who is the reporter. So Ms. Henrietta Lack's cells, as we know, are the most widely used cells for research in the world. Dr. Francis, yes. The reporter, her family never had a say in this. Why did NIH decide to seek to buy in now? The doctor, well, what happened now this year is different. HeLa cells, yes, we have been all over the world, used in almost every laboratory studying human biology, including my own. But now we have had what happened is to read the complete DNA instruction book. And the cells of HeLa cells laying out all kinds of details about why the cells grew so rapidly, but also revealing something that Henrietta's original DNA instruction book, which of course have implications for her family. Now, here's my damn issue with this. This is why her family knows about it today. That's the only reason why her family knows about it today. They knew that if they would have printed this book, with this woman's name, the lawsuits that would have followed, if they would have printed this book with all of this woman's information, and somebody in her genealogy tree read it, they would have been in a world of trouble. Now, let me go down to something else. The agreement was negotiated with the family. Does it grant them anything? Oh, yeah, let me read this, because you have to listen to this response. The reporter. And so this agreement you negotiated with the family, what does it grant them? What does it give them? Well, over three long meetings in the evening in Baltimore with the family, I give them a huge amount of credit for rallying together and dealing with some pretty complicated scientific facts. Ultimately, they were in favor of research going forward. They are wonderfully punitive about the legacy of Henrietta for all of the things it has done for medicine. That to stop. But they did want to have some say who had access to the DNA information because of the implications for them. And so to have the complete DNA information can put in a to do, agreeing that they will pass the data on to other people and that they won't try to contact the family directly. If that is actually considered appropriate, two of the late family members will sit on the group that revised those that reviewed these applications. Then the data is made available. But two quick questions. The researchers can publish the data, publish the results? Absolutely. And the family will receive no financial benefit? They will not. I'm going to read this again. And the family will they will not. Stated. These are the facts. It was desecration of her body. They took these cells from her. If you or I went into a hospital and did this, we would be in jail. If we went to a cemetery in your town or my town and stole something out of the cemetery, we would go to jail. I'm not even sure if that has a statute of limitation. When I was speaking to Warren Ballantyne today, I asked him two profound questions. One, can her cells be considered intellectual property? And two, was that theft? He said, you brought up two good points. And all of it is moot right now because of eminent domain. But let's put the brakes on it here. Because, see, I don't have a law degree, but I was exposed to this no less than 3 years ago. I found out that a small city in Florida had stole my parents' land. It actually happened sometime back in the 1960s. The only reason why I found out about it recently, and that was over 6 years ago when I found out about it, was due to the fact that my parents had came to me and told me that they wanted to retire and die in their hometown. So me being a real estate investor, I went down there to do all of the paperwork. I had a local survey company actually do a survey for me. When they sent the survey back to me in Maryland, something looked strange. There was a line going through my parents' property. I called the surveyor. He called me back, said, Mr. X, the line is going through your on parents' property is a road. And I was like, wait a minute. What the hell you mean a road? Yes, Mr. X, I can go back and do it over, but I'm telling you, the name of the street, he gave me the name of the street, and he said, if you go to that corner, you would see that it's a road, and quite frankly, their property is going over to the next subdivision. Now, I got livid. Just like I'm getting livid for Mrs. Lack right now. I told my parents, I said, you will never need another dime in your life once I finish with these devils. My mother didn't want to push the issue. She said, I just want to go home and retire. My parents being who they were, I had to submit to their wishes. When I got an attorney involved in it, what I ended up finding out was, although it happened 3 decades, matter of fact, that's what, 3 to 4 decades prior, it didn't matter. The statute of limitations started the minute that we knew of the crime. So my question to her family is, when did they find out? When did they find out? Because the statute of limitation doesn't start until somebody in that family knew. See, the medical and John Hopkins decided to come out with this information right now because they bet, they put a gamble that the family couldn't do anything right now because of statute of limitation. But you ask any intellectual attorney, you ask any land attorney that deals in real estate about this issue. It doesn't start until, and I'm going to say this. See, anytime that I get into a situation and people tell me that it can't be done, I look for the same situation on a federal level. And if I can find a case on federal level, I know that there's a precedent. And that precedent on the federal level trumps any state law. So when I found that, I attacked. At the end of the day, my parents got an additional, I believe it was about another acre of land, about another acre and a half of land on top. So they now have more land than they had when it was given to them in 1968. But I'm still not happy with that. It's a shame sometimes that you cannot educate. And I have to tread carefully here because this is my mama and my daddy. That you cannot educate older people that are set in their ways. Matter of fact, that is the terminology that I can use. People who are set in their ways. If my parents would have allowed me to do what I initially wanted to do, their descendants, 25 descendants down, would have been multimillionaires. I had the city by the ropes. The same way that the Lack family, because I read this story, and I'm not sure whether this story is true. I'm not sure whether this doctor is making an accurate statement. I can only go by what I've read on this media outlet because I haven't seen any other. You know what? Let me see this. Lack gains control of her family of Henrietta Lacks gains control of her. You know what? There has been an ongoing issue because I'm looking at the website that I'm looking at right now. Let's go to PBS once again. Let's see if PBS says family of Henrietta Lacks gains control of her DNA. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go and do some further research in this. I'm not going to let this story go. Because if the children of Ms. Lack don't want any money and they just want to sit on the board, I don't think they understand. They need an attorney badly. As I stated, her cells are intellectual property. Her cells have been used all over the world. Thousands on top of thousands of times already. If you can't understand what I'm saying right now, speak to somebody with some legal knowledge. This is why I counsel people up under my small business consulting services, that even if you don't have money and you have a compelling idea, patent it. Copyright it. Do whatever you have to do to secure it. Make sure that it's recorded in Washington. Because there's people out there. I mean, you've seen Shark Tank. You've seen, you've probably not seen them, but there's venture capitalists out there right now that have the money. You, as the person that patented and copyrighted it, can create so many licenses off of that intellectual property that I don't have enough time on this program to explain. And we're talking about her family? The number of industries in the medical community right now are benefiting from this woman's cells. These pharmaceutical companies are making billions of dollars. I tell you one thing. If she was in my family, and I said this on Facebook, Johns Hopkins University would no longer be called Johns Hopkins University. It would be called my family's last name, University. That's where we start. That is where we start. That is surely where we won't end. I'm going to try to get Mrs. Lack, anybody on her in her family on this program. Because I need to understand that. How could they not? I seen in this story, I believe there's what? Let me go back. It says that she has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Now. Their mother was born in 1920 in Roanoke, Virginia. Wow, and she died. That's right. They did say that she died at 31. So she died extremely young. 31 years later in Baltimore, Maryland, Chocolate City. Her spouse, name was David Lack. He died the same year. Wow. I wonder, did he die because of a broken heart? Wow. That's a story. I have to get in contact with this family. Whatever I do, I am going to try to get any one of the descendants from this young lady on this program. Says that she had two girls and three boys. I won't even tell you what their name is. You can actually Google it because I don't want to put their family's business out there like that because I'm pretty sure that now this information is on all media right now that they don't want the added attention. But I tell you this, I truly wish I had my law degree. For real. Because I would offer my service pro bono. Pro bono. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. And I would be hard-pressed. My God, I would be hard-pressed not to bring race into this conversation. Because I want to give John Hopkins the benefit of the doubt. That if this was a white woman and this happened, would they have actually approached the family? Right around that time, I'm pretty sure they would have. I'm pretty sure they would have. Knowing Baltimore like I do, I lived there. I lived in that area for, 6 years? I know that area. They would have approached this family. But just read the captions. This is why when I talk to people and I tell them, read the story and read between the lines. 1951, poor African-American woman in Maryland became an early and unwitting donor to medical science. They need to replace that. The caption should be, in 1951, a poor African-American woman in Maryland became an early and unwitting donor of medical history. Not science. History. This woman, my God, Miss Lack, let me honor the dead. Let me honor our ancestors and not say woman or lady. Miss Lack. Her story should be in medical books. Certainly about cervical cancer. I mean, this should be studied in Harvard. I'm not even sure if it's being studied in Harvard. And they don't even know where it came from, or they probably do know where it came from. I'm spending a lot of time on this because this goes right back to what we talk about on this program time and time again on how African-American people are undervalued in this country, undervalued, unappreciated in this country. And like I said, each one of the Lack children, immediate children of Ms. Lack. I don't know if they're still living in Baltimore. I don't even know what type of home they're living in. But they should not be living in anything less than a $1 million home. They may not even want that. But I tell you one thing, I'm almost positive those two women and three men had children. And they're probably old enough to be grandparents themselves right now. So when I'm talking about our legacy, I'm not talking about people directly. So that is the reason why if this was my grandmother, great-grandmother, if my elders did not want to take a step forward and fight for her, you better believe I would put John Hopkins to shame. I would put John Hopkins to shame. How dare they? I can see it now. Somewhere in Baltimore, they're having a prestigious event. John Hopkins is sponsoring the event. Black tie event. Everybody is there in black tie. you and I probably can't be there because we can't afford the $25,000 and $50,000 tickets. And all along, they did this to this woman. They probably had some of these events because of some research that they did off of this woman's sales. It would be hard for me to not believe since 1950 that they could have not had some type of party on the research in the Baltimore area that they did on this woman's sales. It's hard for me not to believe that because I know that area. I know what goes on. People in B-more know the same thing. They know about the balls. They know about them all. So it's hard for me to believe that it hasn't happened. So they celebrate the findings, but they don't celebrate the source. I bet you they never told anybody in that whole circumstances what they did. I can almost guarantee you they didn't tell anybody what they did. And quite frankly, I'm wondering why the medical community didn't ask them, where did this come from? That's the question. That's the elephant in the room right now. Because anytime that you have medical discovery, people are always questioning it. Prime example, global warming. Some people came against it. Some people said it was junk. So when they came out with this discovery, you mean to tell me nobody questioned it? The FDA? Their colleagues? People who probably wrote on this story when they found this discovery? Her cell has traveled around the world. I wonder, do they know? Her cells have probably helped thousands of people. Thousands of people. That's what's so amazing about this woman. Her cells have probably saved thousands of people. And nobody ever heard of her. Nobody ever heard of her. Wow. I don't think most of the people who are listening to me right now can appreciate what I'm talking about right now. I watched a movie with my wife a couple months ago, and it was about a doctor who was trying to get his colleagues to back his study. And I forgot, it had something to do with cancer. You know what? I'm going to ask my wife about the name of that movie. I'm going to go back and find out what cancer this man actually found the cure for. And I'm going to research it and end up, and I want to find out, did he use some of her cells to do it? All right, let's go on to the next subject. On USA Today, Walmart agrees to safety changes at nearly 2,900 stores. Really? Really? I have to say that again. Really? Many stories that we've heard women almost raped in parking lots at Walmart, robbed at Walmart, kidnapped from Walmart. The U.S. Department of Labor had to force them to do something, and it's not even about security. Let me read the story. Walmart Stores Incorporated has agreed to make safety improvements at more than 2,800 stores for employees who use trash compactors and handle chemicals as part of an agreement with the Labor Department. The retailer had agreed to pay a $190,000 fine over some safety violations that were found during inspections at the Rochester, New York Superstore. Now, I'm going to go on to the next paragraph. But if you're a small business owner, you need to listen to this paragraph carefully. And I'll keep reading on, and I'll come back to it, and I'll explain to you why. The agreement announced Wednesday stemmed from two 2011 inspections by the Labor Department, Occupational Safety and Health Administration. Most people, and this is me talking right now, most people know them as OSHA. Now, I know that there's some small business owners out there that probably are cringing right now because OSHA has probably been at their property at the store in Gates, New York, and found some serious hazards affecting Walmart workers. The agreement applies to 2,857 Walmart and Sam's stores that are under federal OSHA supervision in 28 states. The states that operate their own inspection program can negotiate similar agreements. The hazards included an unlocked and poorly secured trash compactor, an unguarded grinder, obstructed exit routes. Wow, so that means that if there was a fire in Walmart, people would have been trapped in the store. Wow. An absence of training in the use of the compactor and a general lack of information and training regarding the use of the hazardous chemicals. I want to read this again. And that is why I wanted to stop it there for my small business owners. And that is one reason why I'm reading this story. And a general lack and training regarding the use of hazardous material. As a small business consultant, my company that I own, I started Palmetto Small Business Solutions back in 2009. The reason why I started that company was because I noticed that most of the small business owners who were in the Chamber of Commerce, and I had the pleasure of meeting, didn't know anything about their back office responsibilities. They knew everything. Let me say that again. They knew most of the things of the craft, and that was whatever made them go into that business. But they lacked accounts receivable skills, accounts payable skills, a financial statement, IRS audits, OSHA inspections, you know, licenses that they should have had, registrations with the state and the city that they should have done. So we've seen a niche. So I resigned from the South Carolina Black Chamber of Commerce because it would have been a conflict of interest. So I went into business for myself. And we started helping these small business owners to get compliant. But as I have made the rounds still in South Carolina today, because there's at least about, according to the Secretary of State here in South Carolina, about 100 businesses starting a day in South Carolina that most business owners don't have a clue about a lot of things. And let me tell you, people, if OSHA comes to your property and you are not properly prepared, what did Walmart pay? What did I say? $190,000? That is nothing. That's probably what Walmart making it in probably, what, a good 3 or 4 hours. That didn't put a hurt in their pocket. But as a small business owner, if that $190,000 fine would have been assessed against your business, would you be in business tomorrow? That's a serious question. Would you be in business tomorrow? Here in Maryland, they call them DHAC. Federal level OSHA. You get a fine like this, this is like a stab in your back. There's no way most of the small business owners I know can even come up with $190,000. They haven't even made $190,000 in their business since the inception, and they've been open for 5 years. That's why I keep telling people they need to really seriously, and I'm not saying this to scare anybody. This program here is to educate my listeners. I say this all the time. Please take the information that I provide you. Do your own due diligence. Come up to your own conclusion. Because I don't want to be a dictator. I'm irate on some of the issues that I bring to the air. Because that's me. I see the injustice in it. You may see something else. You may think differently. So that's why I say do your own due diligence. You may have a colleague who OSHA or the IRS who's audited, and you're not fully protected. You need to really go to that website that I gave out earlier, www.mrmrpresidentcfo.com, www.mrpresidentcfo.com. There's about five criteria that we deal with on that site. One happened to be small business, and we deal directly with these issues. The other part of that service is the law firm in your market that can advise you about all of the licenses that you need to be in compliant. And I say this with force because, like I said, you can either pay now or, like some of my clients, pay later. And you went into business to make money, not lose it. Now, I want to talk about another story that I came across today. And when I came across this story, I said, oh God, not again. Because, you know, I'm with Warren Ballantyne at this point. I am so sick and tired of marches. Because marches don't achieve anything. It's all about economics. Show me an economic plan to get our community out of this desperate situation that we're in. If we ain't talking dollars, I don't have time for the nonsense. I don't. There's a story on Huffington Post. Fashion race problem. Is boycotting, shaming, and Black Twitter the solution? Should I read this story? Yeah, let me read a little bit of this story. Because I think this is hilarious, and I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to read this story. I'm going to tell you a company that I own and what we tried to do almost two decades ago to address this very issue. So this is an old issue. And this is an issue that Essence Magazine, who is the other one? Jet. They're the only one that actually reprint the same story, it seems, every 5 years. The lack of minority representation on the runway or in print media. It's amazing to me. And I'm so sick and tired of these people talking about it. They're crybabies. That's all they're doing. They're in a position to change this issue. But they just sit on the sideline and talk about it. Here we go. Has outrage over the lack of diversity and racial insensitivity within the fashion industry reached its peak? If not Thursday, the New York Times article entitled Fashion Blind Spot will certainly ring the alarm. And you know what? Can I tap that? Yeah, it's going to take me directly to that. So I want to read this first, then we're going to go directly to the New York Times piece. The powerful free feature written by New York Times editor Eric Wilson explores the blatant whitewashing of fashion runways ads companies, ultimately begging the question, why does the industry recognize it has a race problem? Really? Really? You're joking, right? Wilson makes a strong argument that despite the effort to combine the issue, to combat the issue, the industry is still in denial and nothing has changed. This sentiment is shared by Bethlehem Hardison, a former model and modeling agency owner, as well as a supermodel turned mogul, Iman. These two ladies are leading the charge to inject some much needed diversity into the industry. Hardison, who founded the advocacy group Black Girls Coalition in 1989, told the Times that part of the problem is that no one in power slapped these designers around. Taking it a step further, Iman suggested that a boycott may be in order. It feels to me that the Times need a real hard look drawn. That don't even make sense. I feel to me like the Times need a real hard time drawn like in the 1960s by saying, if you don't want to use black models, then we boycott. If you engage the social media, trust me, it will hurt them in their pockets. If you take it out of there, they will feel the uproar. And beyond simply boycotting the retail aspect of the industry, because how many people are really buying 3,000 purses on a regular basis? Impact activist and fashion insider McAngelo Davis suggested that the folks level the power on black Twitter to affect the change. Now, let me tell you what's wrong with this issue. But before I actually go there, she hit on something that I'm going to go off topic for a minute. So if anybody is listening to me, let me see if anybody is calling in, because I know how I get sometimes. I just start talking and talking and talking and don't say nothing. All right, I don't got nobody on. Where's the story? She hit on a subject that affects the radio industry. There we go. Where is it at? Slapped him around. Where was it at? Two ladies leading the injection. Hearts in front of them. Time's a problem. No longer power. And slapped the designer. They can further suggest a boycott. All right. Now, her comment when she says, if you engage social media, trust me, it would hurt them in their pocket. I bet you Cumulus International is feeling it right now. I bet you Cumulus Radio International, whatever they're calling themselves, they're probably sitting in their corporate office saying, we made a damn mistake when we fired Michael Bazden. The word came down today for somebody in the industry, and I trust this person would know. That's how much I trust him to report this on my program. That Skip Murphy, the person that they replaced Michael Bazden with, will now be replaced by D.L. Hughley. I'm not sure when this change is going to happen, but the decision has already been made. So, my thing is this. The same issue that I'm talking about right now. When Michael Bazden got bumped off of radio, he's in my Facebook club. And I would not be saying this to you if I didn't say this to him directly. I told Michael, because one of the things that he talked about was he's going to wait for another door to open. And I said, well, damn, why are you waiting for another door to open when you can create the door yourself? Michael Bazden is in a position that he doesn't have to wait around for some network to pull him up. The affiliates that he were connected with still want him. He just needs a home base. My organization, and this is why I know this, there are silent stations right now up under the FCC house that can be purchased. Thousands of them. Matter of fact, let me, was it thousands? Let me comfortably say at least hundreds of them. Hundreds of them, if not thousands. And then you have a lot of people who are looking to get out of the business. It's some old timers. He only needs one. He only needs one. I know he got the money. So if he can't buy the station outright, he can go to directly to the FCC and buy the radio wave himself. That way he controls everything. Everything. So he wouldn't have to worry about somebody dropping him anymore unless it was one of his affiliates. It's all about control. Let me go back to this story. Racism. I created when I attended Essex County College in Newark, New Jersey, Hall Modeling Agency. It was at that time that I was working over in New York, right across the street from Madison Square Garden. Used to love that job because I was in the middle of the madness. I worked for Barbizon. I'm pretty sure a lot of you have heard of the company. I think the last time that I went to New York, which was, what, about 7 or 8 years ago, that location is no longer even there. But me and my best friend, Antoine, worked at this location. And there was something disturbing that was going on. We were noticing that when minority parents would come in with their children, they would take the $1,100 and the application and the photos that the parents brought in. Now, one day, I happened to be walking by the GoSee's agent, Death, GoSee. The GoSee agent responsibility is to book, you know, spots for these models. And I noticed a lot of pictures in the garbage. First day I seen it, I didn't say anything. So I thought maybe it was old pictures and she was just getting rid of them. But I kept passing by her desk, and I noticed new pictures. And then I noticed that some of those people that I had just seen walk in the office that week. So me and my partner, best friend, discovered what they were doing. They were taking these people's money, and they were not promoting these girls. They threw their damn picture in the garbage and was lying to the parents every time they called in. Now, if we would have took that to the media, Barbizon probably would have been held down. But we had an aha moment. We know this industry. We know the booking agents. We know the casting agents. We know the directors, not only in New York, but around the world. Shit, we had the database. We were looking at it every day. So what we did was, because he was a computer nerd, he copied the list, put it on a floppy, because they didn't have disks at that time. Put it on a floppy, we brought it back. That was our database. It took us about 3 or 4 weeks, because we were scared, because we didn't want to get caught taking the pictures that the girl had threw in the garbage out of the building. But we did. And we started calling these girls' parents and telling them what was going on. Some of them were outraged. Outraged. Wanted to go back to Barbizon. We begged them not to, because we told them that we were going to start a monitoring agency ourselves. We had the contacts. If they would just give us 30 days, they would see some results. So we took all of this stuff back to Newark. I got some of my friends at Essex County College who knew something about fashion. I started Hall Modeling Agency. I believe I started that company in 1989, somewhere around there. We started doing fashion shows at Essex County College. I initially had 45 girls. We did our fashion shows maybe with no less than about 30 girls. We did about four or five fashion shows at Essex County College, and it happened that during one of the performances, there was somebody in the audience that was from another college, Rutgers, and they were doing something. And they said, could you do the same thing at ours? So we went from Essex County to Rutgers. We went to Caldwell. Where else did we go at? We went up into Princeton. I mean, we were doing fashion shows all over New Jersey. Then we got a call from New York. I had befriended a young guy on New Jersey Transit. We were going back and forth, back and forth. He happened to be sitting next to me when I was going over to going to work, and somehow we started connecting with one another. I'm not sure whether he's seen my laptop. I had some modeling stuff. He asked me, was I in the business, and that was the opening. So I started discussing what I was doing. He told me who he was. He was an up-and-coming designer. Some of y'all are going to be shocked on who this person is. So he says, I'm doing a show in New York. Can you get some girls here and they can keep the clothes? I said, sure. How many you need? I need 20. Consider it done. My girls got paid about $500 each. We got enough. We got a good compensation ourselves. More importantly, they kept the clothes of Carl Kanai. Yes. And from that particular program, we were put on the map. I think it was about 3 or 4 years after that, I changed the name to Crystal's Model Management. I did a blowout. I did some, matter of fact, we started a marketing company without us even knowing it. We had hired a marketing company to do the advertising for Crystal Models in New York. We ended up finding out that they were not doing what they were supposed to be doing. So we fired them. And I had my two girls do the advertising themselves. So they came back to me and I said, you know what? What I want to do is introduce the people to Crystal Model Management gradually. I'm teaching here. Somebody better have a pencil. I said, we're going to break this to them gently. So we got some posters. And we put a black silhouette. Oh, it was one of the most beautiful black silhouettes that you ever want to see. The background was green. The silhouette was black. You're talking about Coke bottle shape. Oh, I think I still have a copy of one of those in my stackings here somewhere. So I said, I want you to post this around. Nothing else on it. So people, we post this around. And one day that I was going for a hot dog downstairs, I heard two people talking about, what is this green poster on the pole? So I called my people and I said, run in another 2 weeks. So we ran in another 2 weeks. The fourth week, we put the same poster up, but now we put Crystal, and that was all. So we ran that. So people were walking around saying, Crystal, what is this? Now we got the people buzzing. I think it was 2 weeks after that, Crystal is... People are now asking, who is Crystal? I mean, you should have... You don't understand. In New York, at that time, you should have heard and seen the frenzy that was going around Midtown during that time. Who in the hell is Crystal? So since I knew I had their attention, I said, now run it. So we put the poster up there. Crystal Models Management is coming. Now, everybody in New York is trying to figure out who in the world is Crystal Model Management. 2 weeks after that, I had them run the poster again, and under the caption, I put, we represent the world's most beautiful women. The advertising that we did for this, oh God, I could have given a training lesson on this. Some people started doing some research, end up finding out who Crystal Model Management was, contacted us in Newark, New Jersey, trying to figure out who in the world was Crystal's Model Management. Where was our big agency at? Who was the girls we were representing? And I was like, damn, we can't handle all of this. But we did. It was during that time that we noticed that there was a lack of diversity in Bryant Park Fashion Week every year. Every year I would go to that show. Every year I would purposely walk my girls in that show. And my girls were not small. My average girl was probably, I think my smallest person was what, 5'10"? I think my tallest was about 6'4". And we had a couple of them. So when they walked in, it was a presence. And we sat there in the office, in the audience, and never seen a woman of color come through the stage. Year one, none. Year two, none. Year three, none. Year four. Now some people in the audience are asking us, your girls are the same size as they are. Your girls look better than they do. They walked in here better than the girls are walking on the stage. Why aren't your girls up there? I told them, they won't even accept our phone call. Year five, we go. No black. There was a guy, Mark Green. He was the, what was his title? The solicitor of New York. I'm not sure what his title was, solicitor or what it was, but his name was Mark Green. He wrote an op-ed in the New Yorker talking about the diversity and the racism that was in the fashion industry. This was in 1990-something. He talked about it. So we decided that, you know what? We're sick of it. And we're sick of talking about it. So we're going to do it our damn self. I got my people together. I said, you know what? We're going to give a fashion show in Bryant Park during Fashion Week. I said, in order for us to do this, we got the girls. We got the equipment. The only thing we need is financing. And may God strike me dead if I'm lying to you on this air right now. I still have the copies. People will tell you. Documentation beats conversation every day. I have copies and documentation going back almost 3 decades. I don't get rid of nothing. I don't keep the paper sometimes. I may scan them, but trust me, it has covered my ass. I contacted every black publication that was out there. I started with Rush. I started with Essence. I started with Jet. We proposed, matter of fact, we went to Spike Lee. We went to Coca-Cola. We went to Pepsi. We went to probably almost to about 25 people, corporations. They all told us, it's a great idea, but our financing for this year is all drawn up. So we immediately sent them another one. Well, since your financing is dried up this year, have you scheduled your budget for next year? Me being the president of my company, you know that they probably did. So I said, could you schedule us in for next year? They sent us letters back telling us, unfortunately, no. During that time, Essence Magazine would print the same issue. Insensitive issues on the fashion industry. The lack of diversity every year. Every year. Matter of fact, let me take that back. I'm wrong. Not every year. I think it's about a 3 to 4 year print for them. And since I'm talking about it today, my wife gets Essence. If I see it come out this year, and I think I did see it come out this year, but if I see it next year, I'm going to put them on the spot. And I'm going to tell them also, I'm sick and tired of reading it in your industry. If anybody can correct this issue, it's Essence. They're in the industry. They have influence. Or are they one of those African-American organizations that don't want to rock the boat? Must we go back to Dr. Francis Cress Welching's appearance on this program? Must we? Dr. Francis Cress Welching. None of this should be a surprise to you. None of it is going to change unless we do it ourselves. Dr. Cress Welching has said that racism dictates this land. Even in the article that it talked about, they said they know. The people who control the fashion industry know it's racist. You know what? I was just thinking. Something just came to me as I said that. And I have to go back to what Joe Madison keeps talking about on his program. They know what they're doing, but they don't give a damn. They don't. Because they're probably in their corporate office saying, you know, most black folk, most Latino, most Asians don't buy our damn magazine anyway. They don't buy our clothes, so why should we put them on the runway? Stupid. Damn right stupid. See, this program is about solutions. Because as I told my boss at Coca-Cola, nothing is hard for me. Nothing. You let me know what the game is. Explain the instructions to me. In time, I'll get it, and I'll beat you at your own game. You've heard me on this program a couple of times talking about the rivalry that I have with my sons, with their video game. you know, these young kids with these latest action videos. And I always tell them, boy, I've been playing videos before you was even thought of. So for you to think that you're going to sit here and beat me, you got to be out of your mind. And you know what they do to me? They laugh in my face. Daddy, you joking. I'll beat you. I'll kill you in this game. You can't beat me. They talk smack. So while they're at school, Daddy is here practicing on the game, getting used to it, knowing the moves, going on the internet, getting some tips. So now I'm coming back, and we're playing. And now I won one game, and I'm looking at them. They say, you're lucky. They win the next two or three games because they're really trying hard. But after that, they don't win no more, and they get frustrated. And they throw the joystick down and walk away. That is the same process that we use against the people who are most definitely practicing racism in this country. We know what it is. Our ancestor has been dealing with this for I don't know how many hundreds of years. We know what it is. We don't have to allow anything to stop us from our destiny. God did not put us on this earth to live a mediocre life. I don't need to start preaching on this program today. I don't care who you are. Because like God, I am no respecter of people. If they told you that you cannot do it, guess what? If you believed it, you're a fool. If they told you you could not do it and you believed it, you're a fool. Because you just bought into their thinking, not God's thinking. Because Jesus said you can achieve anything through who? People. Y'all just don't understand. Just don't understand. What else can we talk about before we go out today? See, we have less than about half an hour. What's up here? What's on? Will change boycott change laws? Oh, God. You know what? Let me say this. Because Elijah doesn't hold his tongue. I respect Jesse Jackson. I respect Al Sharpton. I respect Tavis Smiley. I respect Carnell West for what they have done for our people in the past. Some of these individuals were there during Dr. Martin Luther King's time on this earth. So I appreciate what they did at the beginning. But I'm telling you, what they have been doing over the last couple of years have been doing nothing but race baiting. Somebody used coin on the internet, race pimping. As I stated, no more marching. We're past that. It's about economic development. If we ain't talking about the money, we ain't talking about nothing. There's people out there who are hurting right now. I was just looking at a posting yesterday, I believe it was on MSNBC, where they basically stated that if you have been out of work for 9 months, that's almost like being out of work for 5 years. So it's going to be hard for those individuals who lost premium jobs who refuse to accept those lower standard jobs to get back into the workforce. I'm telling you people, it's about group economics. I played it yesterday, the ballot or the bullet. Malcolm X stated, don't allow these lying politicians to come into your community. If your minister allow a politician to come up in the pulpit and he won't allow his wife to come into the pulpit, you need to question your minister. We all need to start questioning. You know what? I'm thinking about Queen Latifah. What was the name of that movie? Oh, God, it was a Christmas movie where the senator was on vacation. He actually was trying to hit on Queen Latifah. Queen Latifah had mentioned to him, well, you were supposed to be at our church. Where were you? And he gave some flimsy excuse. I have to go back to our boy, George Carlin, one of the baddest white boys that ever walked this earth. They don't give a, you know what? Let's pull it up. Let's do this. I have 26 minutes for the people who have never heard this clip before. Let's go to the audio tape. And I didn't want Google. I wanted YouTube. YouTube. I'll let him say it because I don't feel like cursing today. Oh, well, actually, I probably already did. All right. Bear with me, people. I want to play this clip for you because he hit this right on the head, and American Dream. Let me see if this is the one. 5 years ago, that's about five. Here we go. Here. No, I don't want one or two. I just want...
Have you ever wanted to learn another...
No, I don't want that. Get me out of this. You need these stupid commercials when you're trying to get to what you're getting to.
People are fucking nuts. This country is full of nitwits and assholes.
No, that's not the one that I wanted. This is one of two. I want the one where it's all together. It was only a five-minute clip. One or two, American Dream. On one, two, three. Yeah, I believe this is it. Listen to what he says. And I'm going to prep this by stating George Carlin tells you what is on his mind. So he will be cursing in this. But I want you to hear the message on what George Carlin is saying, and then I'm going to expand on it. That's why I keep saying, and I'm going to keep repeating it. Take what Dr. Welshing says, take what George Carlin is saying, put those both together, and we're going to be adding some stuff so you can see the clear picture. Where did that go at, George Carlin? Here we go. Let me turn my thing up so you can hear it.
There's a reason. There's a reason. There's a reason for this. There's a reason education sucks, and it's the same reason that it will never, ever, ever be fixed. It's never going to get any better. Don't look for it. Be happy with what you got. Because the owners of this country don't want that. I'm talking about the real owners now. The real owners, the big wealthy business interests that control things and make all the important decisions. Forget the politicians. The politicians are put there to give you the idea that you have freedom of choice. You don't. You have no choice. You have owners. They own you. They own everything. They own all the important land. They own and control the corporations. They've long since bought and paid for the Senate, the Congress, the state houses, the city halls. They got the judges in their back pockets. And they own all the big media companies, so they control just about all of the news and information you get to hear. They got you by the balls. They spend billions of dollars every year lobbying to get what they want. Well, we know what they want. They want more for themselves and less for everybody else. But I'll tell you what they don't want. They don't want a population of citizens capable of critical thinking. They don't want well-informed, well-educated people capable of critical thinking. They're not interested in that. That doesn't help them. That's against their interests. That's right. They don't want people who are smart enough to sit around the kitchen table to figure out how badly they're getting fucked by a system that threw them overboard 30 fucking years ago. They don't want that. You know what they want? They want obedient workers. Obedient workers. People who are just smart enough to run the machines and do the paperwork and just dumb enough to passively accept all these increasingly shittier jobs with the lower pay, the longer hours, the reduced benefits, the end of overtime, and the vanishing pension that disappears the minute you go to collect it. And now they're coming for your Social Security money. They want your fucking retirement money. They want it back so they can give it to their criminal friends on Wall Street. And you know something? They'll get it. They'll get it all from you sooner or later because they own this fucking place. It's a big club, and you ain't in it. You and I are not in the big club. By the way, it's the same big club they use to beat you over the head with all day long when they tell you what to believe. All day long, beating you over the head in their media, telling you what to believe, what to think, and what to buy. The table is tilted, folks. The game is rigged. And nobody seems to notice. Nobody seems to care. Good, honest, hardworking people, white collar, blue collar, doesn't matter what color shirt you have on. Good, honest, hardworking people continue. These are people of modest means. Continue to elect these rich cocksuckers who don't give a fuck about them. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't give a fuck about you. They don't care about you at all. At all. At all. You know? And nobody seems to notice, nobody seems to care. That's what the owners count on, the fact that Americans will probably remain willfully ignorant of the big red, white, and blue dick that's being jammed up their assholes every day. Because the owners of this country know the truth. It's called the American dream, because you have to be asleep to believe it.
The American dream. You have to be asleep to believe it. Wow. Isn't that profound? You know, I should just end the show on that alone. The American dream. You have to be asleep to believe it. I only have probably about another 20 minutes, but there is so much stuff that's going on in the country right now. It ain't funny. That you should know about. Did you just see? Matter of fact, I was looking at this. This is breaking news. They reported it as breaking news. I've seen it on USA Today. Let me go back. The president. NASA interest is to thaw attack. Let me tell you what the president did today. Now, the president said that he doesn't see Snowden as a patriot. He doesn't. But what he did today, and let me stop this. Come on, stop this now. I'm on the program. Stop that, stop that, stop that, stop that. Don't let me have to turn you off. Uh-oh, what just happened? President Obama said Friday that former National Security contractor Edward Snowden is not a patriot for leaking details of the previous U.S. surveillance program. I don't see Mr. Snowden as a patriot, said Obama, who added that Snowden has been charged with three felonies for the leak. The president's comments came in a 50-minute news conference at the White House one day before he set off a long week vacation on Martha Vineyard. That is not the one that I wanted. Let me go and get it. Where is it at? Oh God, where is it at? Did I see it here? Well, anyway, the president announced today that he's going to make some changes about the surveillance, that the NSA do on you and me. The pressure has gotten so hot that now he's going to so-called address the issue. But I'm telling you, that issue is so much bigger than what you realize. I'm going to say this again. The leak that Edward Snowden perpetrated is so much bigger than him. I just watched Jesse Ventura's conspiracy theories yesterday. Now, one of them, the only one that I was interested in, was the one that was banned from television. I wanted to watch and see why it was banned. I'm going to ask you to Google Jesse Ventura, conspiracy theories. Look for the episode that's banned. After you look at that, then remember all of this stuff that's going on right now about the NSA and put the pieces together. You're probably listening to this program. Listen to what they talk about in that program. Jesse Ventura had hooked up with Alex Jones. Now, some of you probably know who Alex Jones is. He's an advocate out there in Texas. He's on it probably a lot better than I am. Matter of fact, I know he is. So they went out, because you do understand that there are some concentration camps. There is a concentration camp in your state. You do realize that, right? You do realize that FEMA has actually broken down all 52 states only down to 9 regions. Go look at that program. Then look up H.R. 645. So go and look at all three of those. Look up H.R. 45 and look at what was put in that bill. People, things are put in these bills that pass on an everyday basis in the Senate and in Congress. They may call it the Farm Bill. They may call it the Seesaw Bill. But look at what's attached to that bill. I remember a couple of years ago, this is what, you know, some of the watchdogs actually got on some of the Congress people about pork. They called it pork. All of these things that they used to take back to their district. You know, somebody was complaining that one guy got a brand new airport in his state and only 2 or 3 people come through that airport a month. I call that being a good broker for his citizens. That's what I call it. I don't call it pork. I call it being a good senator. But, you know, it talks about all of this stuff that is going on around us, and we don't even have a clue. Look at that conspiracy theory. You know what? Let me pull it up. I want to, what was it? What did I watch it yesterday? YouTube. Let me pull it up. YouTube. Let's do Jesse Ventura conspiracy theories. I want the one that was banned. Banned. Oh, damn. He got a lot of them up here that's banned. Oh, duh. But look at the one. Police state. That's the one that I want you to look at. They banned a lot of his programs. Wow. I want you to, there's a couple that I want you to look at because they all tie in together. Go to YouTube, put in Jesse Ventura, banned. What's going to come up, the first one should be Police State, full episode. I want you to look at that one. There's 1, 2, 3. I want you to look at the fourth one. and I definitely want you to look at the fifth one. That is actually a I'm looking at it as a three-part series, because all three of those, if you look at those tie into what is going on with the NSA right now. So what Ed and Snowden did is remarkable. I'll say that. See, you may have a different opinion of him right now, but you don't know the whole story. I'm almost positive that if you knew the whole story, even the people who don't agree on what he did, I can almost guarantee you your opinion will change. It will change. So that's pretty much all that we have for Freestyle Friday. Nobody called in. I'm so disappointed. You know, tomorrow, I believe, can I get our relationship show in? No, tomorrow I have to get in. You know what? Yeah, I can do that because I got to go to bed early on Sunday. I'm going to New Orleans, y'all. Leaving out of here on Monday. So I am going to do the Reason Why Men and Women Can't Get Along series tomorrow. That's going to go down at 8 o'clock. And I pray to God that some people call in for that program, because we all got problems in our relationship. There are some people out there that have good relationships, and I want them to call in. I want this program to be an informative program for the people. So we're going to be talking about a lot of issues. Relationship is going to be one of those. We're always going to talk about business, because that is my passion. That is my love. I'm always going to be uplifting God's people with some type of word that my Father provides me. I'm going to provide it to you. We can do this ourselves. It's all about economic development. And that is what we're going to hit on this program hard. Like I said, our motto here, if we ain't talking about money, we ain't talking. For real. If we are not talking about money, we ain't talking. Don't invite me to no march. Don't invite me to no meeting. Unless it's talking about economic empowerment. My name is Elijah Isaiah. You are now listening to the Elijah Isaiah Talk Show. And who can I send you out with today? Let's send you out with Donna Summers. I love this song. MacArthur Park. Oh, Donna, sing to me, baby. With God's help and with God's blessing, I'll see you tomorrow.
Sing, slow it down. Someone left.
here's to the people who are feeling down right now. The people who have been counted out, the people who have been told that they cannot do anything, the people who they told you are dead. This one goes out for you. I'm out of here, people.
But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get along. And so you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here with that bad look upon your face. I should have changed that stupid lock. I should have made you leave your key. If I'd have known for just 1 second you'd be back to bother me. Boy, now go, walk out the door. Just turn around now, 'cause you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to hurt me with goodbye?
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.